are folks who like to brag about where they came from. But when they start that stuff, I let them be. But it makes me feel like I want to brag some, to know that I come from the state of Tennessee.
Let's give old Tennessee credit for music.
All right, we have Roger D. Hodge, editor of Oxford American, on the phone. Thanks so much for talking with me and WUTC, Roger.
My pleasure.
Now, the Oxford American, it describes itself as a southern magazine of good writing. It's a treasure of the South, and every now and then, you guys publish a music issue focusing on music from the South, and you've just released the Tennessee issue. But before we talk about that issue specifically, tell us a little bit about the history of the music issues and the areas and genres the magazine's examined in the past.
Yeah, the magazine's been going for 20 years. We were founded in 1992, and the music issue started 15 years ago, or more or less 15 years ago. This is the 15th issue. And the idea, I think, was to really put the spotlight on the amazing variety and richness of the music of the South, which in some sense you could say has become the dominant popular music of the world. After a few years, it became hard to come up with a way of organizing the issue, and so the idea came up to focus on particular states. In the past, there have been issues devoted to Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi, but this issue, we've been working on this for a year. We got started in November. In some ways, Tennessee is the big one.
Oxford American has focused on music from, like you said, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama. Now Tennessee is in the spotlight. Tell us about the process of starting this issue of Tennessee, because it is such a musical state. Where do you start, and what were some of the goals?
We could have done multiple issues on the music of Tennessee. The starting point really was conversations between Rick Clark, our music editor, and me, about how to approach it. We could break the state down into parts. That's one way. We could break it down into periods. We could break it down into genres. And so we kind of mapped it out. The music associated with Memphis. You have the music associated with Nashville. You have the music associated with East Tennessee. You have R&B and soul and rock and roll and country and gospel and, you know, hillbilly music, race music, all these terms that are obsolete now, but bluegrass. There's so much there. You start thinking about pilgrimage. People came to the state of Tennessee to make music. Not everyone who made music in Tennessee, not every kind of music, not every song that we think of as being born in Tennessee was composed by someone who was born in Tennessee.
One of these days I'm gonna take that ride.
Tennessee has become, in a way, this mecca for American roots music.
And exactly like you said, you got the West Tennessee, you've got Elvis, electric blues, the birthplace of rock and roll and rockabilly, the middle part, which is that Nashville classic country sound, and of course the eastern part, you know, has connections to old time and jazz. I can only imagine the where to begin and almost how antagonizing that might be.
Yeah, it was an enormous task. And another way of looking at it is through the lens of the music business, of those pioneering studios in Memphis, Sun, Stax, and American, and Ardent, and then looking at just Nashville, there are all these different periods of Nashville music. And the music business centered in Nashville.
We were talking about how it would almost be impossible to just have Tennessee musicians born and raised, and then that's with your cover image, Johnny Cash, who is often associated with Tennessee, but is born in Arkansas. Of course, his backing band was the Tennessee Three for a while. Oxford American could have gone so many different avenues for picking a cover, you know, mm-hmm. Elvis, Carl Perkins, Memphis Slim, etc. Why go with The Man in Black?
Well, that was a really, really long process. And as you said, Johnny Cash, born in Arkansas, but he made his music in Memphis. So there was no question of in my mind, of Johnny being on the CD, and there was no question of, in my mind, about whether or not he fit in the issue.
Like a nightmare in my way, I got a top mod Eagle Mountain a little bit later today. Going down Mod Eagle Mountain on I-24, it's hell for a trucker when the devil's at your door.
We also happen to have a wonderful essay by Roseanne Cash, who was born in Memphis and who spent her adolescence with her father. And her essay is not about her father. Her essay is about her life. But her father, of course, was a big part of her life. So Johnny had a strong presence in the issue. And when you start thinking about a cover, you start thinking about a figure who captures the whole story of Tennessee music. And so Johnny Cash captures both the pilgrimage and then spending his entire, you know, most of his working life recording and living and being associated with Tennessee. There was just something about his story and the way he his music absorbed all of these different influences, gospel and the old time music and the rock and roll, and his personality and his career, in my mind, captured the whole story.
You mentioned Roseanne Cash's essay, and of course Oxford American features great long-form journalism, short fiction, poetry. The first essay in the magazine is very interesting for me, a radio guy who's been in radio since he was 16, a piece called Let's Put Him on the Air by Christine Cooper Spindle, where she describes the plight of Memphis radio station WDIA as they try to find a black audience in the 1940s. I mean, that is, for me, it was interesting, not only from a broadcasting point of view, but also trying to find an audience, trying to understand race relations, and also trying to introduce black music to a culture. How does a story like that come to Oxford American, or an essay?
Well, that is such a fascinating story. Christine was the original program director at WDIA when they made the decision to pursue a black audience, which was a revolutionary move. And, you know, she had grown up in the Jim Crow South, and it was a terrifying move. And that story came to us through her daughter, who's a writer, Carol. And her daughter mentioned, who she happened to know Rick Clark, and she mentioned that that her mother had been at WDIA in the 40s, and she was working on a memoir, and would we be interested? And so Carol worked with her mother, Christine. Christine wrote the piece. Carol helped, and we edited, and it was, you know, Christine's not a professional writer, but she has a great story. Music of the American South that came out of the black community into the white community, which created a tremendous foment of creativity. And it's that color line, that back and forth across the color line that you see it again and again when you look in the history of American music.
If you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Roger D. Hodge, editor of Oxford American. Last week, Oxford American's Southern Music issue hit the stands. The edition focuses on music from Tennessee. One of the essays in the magazine features a profile on Chattanooga's own Bessie Smith. Bessie Smith is a saint here in town.
Yeah.
Talk about that article, Everybody Knows You When You're Down and Out.
Well, we wanted to cover Bessie because she tends to be, you know, kind of taken for granted. For whatever reason, there has become a fascination fascination with the lonely, tragic figure of the itinerant blues guitarist, you know, and not to take anything away from that, but that music was not what most people thought of as the blues early on. It was people like Big Maybelle and Bessie Smith and these great female singers who were hugely popular. And Amanda Petrusic is a wonderful writer who's been associated with the OA for a long time, and I love working with her, and she has a lot of insight into that dynamic. She's writing a book about record collectors, and in a way, it's the record collecting mentality that has taken the search for the rare side, that has taken the emphasis off these figures who were so popular, like Bessie.
Yes, she actually writes that Bessie Smith is not a specter, underappreciated, and awaiting detection for record collectors. She is canonical and understood, and she basically posits that Bessie Smith laid the foundation to artists like Beyoncé and Lady Gaga.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about Amanda is she's capable of making connections through time and through space and really drawing you toward understanding music in a way that you might not have understood it before. It's not just enthusiasm, it's not just analysis, but it brings everything together. And so that's why I approached Amanda and asked her if she would be interested in writing about Bessie, and she was, and she did a wonderful job.
I need a little sugar in my bowl. I need a little hot dog on my roll. I can stand a bit of
the music issue. It always comes with a CD, a double CD in this case, over 50 songs, I mean, with killer tracks from Big Star, Bobby Hebb, and Ann Peebles. How does the selection process for the track listing go down when you're doing this issue?
Oh, Rick Clark, our music editor, started, who by the way, is a Memphis boy who's now based in Nashville, lives in Columbia, just started assembling stuff. And we would, everybody on staff would throw suggestions, and he started, he spent untold hours listening to the catalogs of different artists and then started putting together sample discs that he would send around to us, and we would listen to, and we just started listening.
Kind of like mixtapes.
Yeah. And we just started listening, started thinking which of the songs are really sticking, and which Bessie Smith song are we going to use? We want to use Bessie. Which one? We want to use Johnny Cash. My God, which song do we pick? We don't want to stuff the CDs with monster hits that everybody already remembers and knows. At the same time, we don't want it to be too obscure. So we got to get a balance there. We need to get Big Star in there somehow.
Talked earlier about how much music comes from Tennessee, from rockabilly to classic country, and really these two CDs. I mean, you've got everything from Bob Dylan to something funky from Ann Peebles. There really is such a range in these two discs.
And then it's the listening experience that there's a narrative to this, and we have a two CD package this time because we just couldn't contain it in one. And so there's a narrative, an implied narrative in the song, but it's also thematic and feeling, and there's this sense that you could put it in your CD player, if you still have a CD player, or rip it onto your computer and just put it on repeat.
This Tennessee issue, it also features a poem by Chattanooga resident and contributing editor Jamie Quattro. She's a friend of the station. She wrote this poem, Protestant Worshipper in St. Joseph Cathedral, San Antonio, Texas, which is steeped in the spiritual imagery that Quattro likes to flirt with. And she's a short story writer, so why come in and publish a poem?
I don't think that a special issue needs to be exclusively focused on its subject. And so... Jamie is a good friend and a close contributor to, very, very important contributor to the magazine. And I wanted her to be a part of the issue. And She's a poet as well as a short story writer, and she sent me some poems, and the poem has nothing to do with Tennessee directly, and thematically it's set in a church in Texas, but there's the music there, and the music of her writing is something that I just associate with Tennessee, even though technically she lives in Lookout Mountain, Georgia. We're not too worried about these arbitrary lines. And Lucy Alibar, who wrote Beast of the Southern Wild, a Louisiana writer who grew up, you know, she's associated with Louisiana, but she grew up in Florida. And this is a story that, you know, it's a piece of fiction. It doesn't fit into the framework of the music issue. It's just, this is our short story for the issue about a goat that saves Christmas.
Final question. So as the editor of Oxford American and the Tennessee issue's finished, it's released to the public, what's your take on the music here in Tennessee now? Did you learn anything good?
I learned so much. I can't. You know, I went to college in Tennessee. I've spent a lot of time in Tennessee. I went to Suwanee, just up the road from Chattanooga. I thought I knew a little bit about Tennessee music when we got started. It's bottomless. I mean, Tennessee is. I mean, every state in the South has made its contribution to American music, and every state has its treasures. And Tennessee is a place where everything kind of comes together, and it's just incredibly rich. I hope somebody someday puts together an encyclopedia of the music of Tennessee, because
that's gonna be an arduous task.
But it would be a joyful one as well. I mean, there's so much great music.
Give old Tennessee credit for music. As they played up in Nashville every day.
That was a conversation with Oxford American editor Roger D. Hodge. All music heard in this piece is featured on the Southern Music double CD included in the newly released Tennessee issue of Oxford American.
Now Ernest Tubbs down in Texas, don't you see? But if all you